We are continuing this series that I've titled Called To. And today we talk about being called to bear fruit. When Jesus said, be fruitful, it sounds so simple. It's actually part of the Great Commission in Matthew 28. We're called to make an impact on the people we meet and to draw them to Jesus. As we just sang in that verse, the people out on the highways and byways of life, we're called to make an impact in their lives so that they might know Jesus through us. Yet some of us try very hard to do just that, and if we look back at our lives or where we've been or what we're doing, sometimes we feel that we've come up empty. At the end of the day, we look back and wonder if we really made a difference. Is there any fruit that's come from our labors? But here is the promise. Jesus suggests that if we are faithful, God will make us fruitful. And Jesus uses this great illustration to make the point. He says that he is the vine and we are the branches. Now many of us are not quite familiar, or not so familiar with the whole image of vine and branches. I know as a kid growing up on our back country roads, there were often along the side of the road, we'd see vines and we'd see grapes, and we would as kids pick them up and eat them, and then our parents would say, don't eat that, you don't know what it is. But we see them. But again, in our lives, most of the time when we think about grapes or fruit, we think of the grocery store, right? Unless you happen to live in an apple orchard or someplace. But the people who were hearing Jesus speak at this point in time were very familiar with the imagery. Grapes were everywhere. In fact, the grapevine was the emblem of Israel, much like the bald eagle is the emblem of the United States. Grapes appeared on coins during the period between the prophet Malachi and Matthew. And believe it or not, in Jesus' day, a golden vine hung over the entrance to the temple. To the Jew, the grapevine represented Israel's fruitfulness and doing God's work on earth. Psalm 80, verse 8 says, you brought a vine out of Egypt, and you drove out the nations and planted it. How is that for imagery? The vine planted. This was God's chosen people. Unfortunately, the people failed to keep the vine nourished, and as a result, they kept up losing their fruit. In that same psalm, in verses 12 and 13, we read this. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed upon it. That beautiful, beautiful image of Israel being plucked by those around it. We see it again in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. Yet I planted you a choice vine, holy, pure of seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become like a wild vine? A friend of mine posted a picture in Pennsylvania where she lives of a big, huge tree. And on it, it looked like there were all these vines coming off of it. And she said, isn't it beautiful? It looks almost like there are ropes coming off the tree. Now, sometimes in the past, I've been snarky when I see things like that. I wanted to put in there that those are vines that are robbing that tree of its. I forget what you call them, but they are not a beautiful thing, for they destroy that beautiful tree. And that's what happened in Israel. The people were filled with hypocrisy, greed, and all kinds of evil instead of the fruits of righteousness, justice, and mercy. They were supposed to be a symbol, a sign to the nations, and instead they were corrupt in and through, and there was no fruit to show for it. The point is, though, that God wanted his people to be fruitful, and it goes all the way back to the beginnings in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, where God says, be fruitful and increase in number. You see, he had given us dominion over everything, and we were to be the caretakers of all that. And yet, we shied away from our responsibility. We fell into sin. But the truth is that especially for us as Christians now, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have also claimed that call to bear fruit. And Jesus shares that with his disciples, to go out and to do that. And so today, when we think about what it means to be a Christian, as Karen says so beautifully, a Christian that does not bear fruit is a contradiction in term. We should all be showing the fruit of the Spirit. And if you want to know what the fruit of the Spirit is, go to Galatians chapter 5, where Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, these are the things that should be coming in and through us as we live out our Christian calling in the world. We should be peacemakers. Where there's trouble, we should come in and be able to bring the Spirit of Christ with us. And yet, not all of us do that, who call ourselves Christians. So I want to just make a transition here, knowing that this is our calling. You see, next weekend is Palm Sunday. We're going to have a great day here at church. We're going to be baptizing people who have come to confess their love of Christ, their faithful following Him. We're going to be able to welcome some new members. We're going to celebrate the day when Jesus came into Jerusalem as the royal victor with everybody shouting and cheering and praising Him. But on that first day that we call Palm Sunday, even though there was joy in the air, it wasn't long before Jesus gathered His disciples and began to tell them the grim news. As they were in the afterglow of the triumphant entry, Jesus tells them that He's going to die. He gathers them in a quiet place for one last supper. Lamb is served for the Passover meal because He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Bread is broken because He is the bread of life. And the fruit of the vine is consumed because He is, as He says in our passage, the true vine. He then provides comfort to them by saying in John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me." So even as He's preparing to go away, knowing that they will be shocked, knowing that they will be dispirited and brokenhearted, He says, do not lose faith. Stay connected to God. And in the last phrase of the last verse of chapter 14 in John's Gospel, He says this, rise, let us go from here. You see, even though He told them He was going to die, there was more to that story. During this time of the year, there would have been a full moon casting light on a variety of vineyards in the lower slopes of the hill as they were walking from the upper room down to Gethsemane. It's likely that Jesus stopped along the way and reached out and lifted up a vine filled with blossoms of a promising harvest. And He said to them, you see this? I am the true vine. And My Father is the vine dresser. It's a remarkable revelation and quite a contrast as the scene changes from palm branches being waved in the midst of a noisy crowd to the leaves of a vine on a quiet night. You know, in Jesus' telling of this story that Karen read, there are really three characters in this parable, allegory. First, there is Jesus, who is the true vine, and the word vine literally means root or trunk. It's that part that comes out of the ground and is often not much to look at. This is a fulfillment of Isaiah 53:2, where it says, for He grew up before Him like a young plant, like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at Him, no beauty that we should desire Him. You see, the root of the vine is not the most beautiful part. It's the flowers, it's the fruit that grow out of it that is comely and beautiful. In contrast to the faithless and fruitless Israel, Jesus is the fulfillment of all that they were not. He was the strong root that would bring forth life. Second, the farmer or the vine dresser is literally the one who tills the ground. His primary task is to grow grapes. For that to happen, though, the ground must be cultivated and fertilized, pests must be controlled, weeds must be pulled, and pruning must take place. Yeah, I had John Humphrey come over. We need to have some yard work done. And I was almost embarrassed to have him come over because Lori's been hollering at me for so long. You got to take care of this, got to take care of this. And we've got some beautiful bushes that have just grown out. And I kind of say, well, yeah, aren't they supposed to grow out? Well, somebody told me, no, you got to prune them so that they can really flourish. And so John, if he wasn't scared away, will probably help helping us out do that. But in order to find the beauty, sometimes you got to do the pruning, and that's what God does. Finally, we are called the branches. Our job is simple. All we have to do is bear fruit. If we're faithful, God will make us fruitful. And for that to happen, though, we must stay tenaciously connected to the vine. If we want to bear fruit, we got to be connected. In this parable, there are also four levels of fruit that is talked about. There's no fruit, meager fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Some scholar wrote that 50% of all Christians, those who claim Christ as their Lord, bear very little fruit. And only about 5% bear a lot of fruit. I don't know where you fall or where I fall. Sometimes I'm ashamed at how much more I could be doing. But here's the truth. God loves us so much that He actively cultivates. He sends us out. He calls us to bear fruit, but then He cultivates our lives so that we will move from no fruit or little fruit to much fruit if we let Him. So here's the good news. More is always possible because you and I were created for this purpose. We were created to let the purposes, the love, the glory of God flow through us. We were created in His image. His thumbprint is upon us. And God is a fruitful God. And so we have this opportunity because we've been called for this purpose. According to Matthew 7, chapter 20, fruit bearing is a sign of a spiritual life. He says, you will recognize them by their fruit. And again, we read the fruit of the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, these things begin to take over. Maybe not all at once, but over time. You know, when I was a child, I had a lot of troubles growing up. And I still have vividly in my mind, it's a reminder of how much anger I had within me. I was walking down the street as an 11-year-old boy with my belt and just whipping that on the ground because there was so much anger. It wasn't long after that I came to know Christ. And He began to work on that in my life. And He's still working on some of those other areas where the fruit of the Spirit needs to come through. There are two ways for us to come from little or meager fruit to much fruit. First, if you want to bear fruit, you better be prepared for some pruning. Ugh. I hate to say that. But it says in John 15:2, every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Good pruning creates a strong root system, improves the health of the vines, and most importantly, increases the yield. So sometimes God will be working in our lives pruning. Remember, though, the goal of the vine dresser, the goal of the vineyard, is to grow grapes, not just lush leaves or creative colors. Sometimes a vine that is growing without pruning has lots of pretty flowers on it, but very few grapes. So all that pretty surface stuff must sometimes be sacrificed for the sake of the harvest. God does not prune us without reason, though. He knows what He's doing, and He has a plan for our lives. And since He's working to make us more like Christ, the pruning helps us in that process. He only removes what is necessary for us to grow in faith. But pruning sometimes, let me be honest, involves pain. It might include circumstances, failures, ruptured relationships, illnesses, and sometimes trials that we go through so that we can bear more fruit. My college experience is a good example. Again, I went through this turbulent time in my life where I was kind of lost. I knew I loved Christ, but I was not doing all those things, and I ended up failing and having to reevaluate my whole life. I wish I could have avoided that. And yet I think it was one of those pruning experiences in my life where God said, you cannot be who I want you to be unless I put you through these tough times, or I let you go through, maybe more appropriately, these tough times. The truth is that the longer we live, the more likely we'll go through several seasons of pruning. I love the prayer found back in that Psalm 80 we mentioned earlier. It says, turn again, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see, have regard for this vine. And he's talking about himself, David is. Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. David knew he had things in his life that he had to work out, and he called on God to help prune him and shape him so that he could be the man after God's own heart. Second thing is, it happens through connection to the vine. When we come to verses 4 and 5 in the passage Karen read, we see the first command in this passage. God says, Jesus says, abide in me, abide in me, and I will abide in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, that's why I talk about the gathering together as the church as being so important for us. We need to come together to be encouraged, to be lifted up, to hear the word of God, to sing God's praises, to be abiding in Christ. Yes, you can do that down on the beach. We have beautiful beaches down here, and there may be a morning where the sunrise comes up and you can feel that you are in the presence of God. And that's okay. But sometimes it is only being in community where we can really feel the Spirit of God moving in our lives. If we want our baskets to be full of fruit, then we must stay close to Christ. It's our call to vigilance. To abide means to stay, to dwell in or remain, to settle in for the long term. You know, next week some folks are going to be baptized, some of them quite young, and they're saying, yes, I want to abide in Christ. And when you say that, I don't want to scare you, but you're not saying that, okay, this weekend. No, you're making that commitment to say, I'm going to abide in Christ the rest of my life. I want to walk with him. I want him to come and to live in my being. And I want to dwell with him so that wherever I go, you will go. It's that comment out of Ruth where Ruth says to Naomi, your people shall be my people and your God will be my God from now on. And she goes back to Israel and lives with the people. And abiding in Christ is like that. We say, your father is my father. Come and abide with me. That's how we have baskets full of fruit. You know, this word abide is used 11 times in John chapter 15 and 40 times in John's gospel. John 15:8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. It's not a suggestion, it's an imperative. When we settle in with Jesus, we will be abundantly fruitful and bring glory to God. On the other hand, if we fall away from Jesus, our baskets will be empty. For Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you can't find any fruit, you need to figure out why that is. Maybe, and this happens to all of us, maybe you're not as connected as you used to be. Here's the encouraging thing, that our job is not to produce fruit, but to bear fruit. Faithfulness is our obligation. Fruitfulness is God's concern. If we are faithful to God, if we are walking with Christ, if we are living to his glory and honor, God will make the fruit appear. And I'm sure many of you could testify to that and say, yes, when I'm close, feeling close to God, when I'm walking with God, when I'm doing what I believe God has called me to do, it seems like miracles are happening. Things are happening all around me. It's not a matter of me or you trying to get some fruit to flourish. Our job is to simply obey and abide in him, and he'll grow the fruit. Those fruit of the Spirit that I mentioned earlier, those things don't just happen because you're handsome or you're young or you're a hard worker. They happen because you're abiding in Christ, and all of a sudden you're being changed from the inside out. And you begin to love people in a different way. You have a different kind of joy. The peace of God comes over you no matter what your circumstance. That's why Paul could say that he was always joyful, that he's singing God's praise always, even in the midst of prison, because he was abiding in Christ. The result of spiritual fruitfulness is that God will be glorified and will grow. And we'll go out with the gospel, and others will come to Christ. I like this. I read this. Playwright George Bernard Shaw was nearing the end of his life, And a reporter asked him a question. They said, if you could live your life over and be anybody you've known or any person from history, who would you be? That's an interesting question. We probably all could come up with an answer. Somebody, maybe it's our mother, our grandmother, our grandfather, or maybe it was some famous person, a president or a singer or historical figure. This is what he said. Shaw thought for a moment and then replied, I would choose to be the man George Bernard Shaw could have been, but never was. A deep and powerful answer. The man, the woman that God foresaw when he created you in your mother's womb, he had a dream and a plan for your life. And he said, if you stick with me, if you abide with me, that plan will come to full fruition and you will bear much fruit and you will have an impact in the world around you. And all the world will glorify me. So today, as we come 1 week closer to remembering the love that God had in Jesus Christ that went to the cross and took away our sin, let's be the man or woman that God has created us to be. He's formed us for fruitfulness. Let's make that commitment to draw closer to Him, to abide in Him, and get ready for some pruning. And let's determine to stick close. For if you do, you'll have more fruit than you can handle. That's God's promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you have called us to bear fruit. But you haven't just sent us out there on our own. You have promised that if we abide in you, if we stick close to you, that this fruit will come and it will bring glory to your name. Oh Lord, help us to abide. Help us to stay close. Help us to look to you in faithfulness and obedience so that your will for our lives will be made complete and the fruit will be overflowing in the people that we meet every day. Oh Lord, help us to be the bearers of good fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.